all of a sudden dentistry's fun again. You know, I show up, I spin my drill, I do great things for my patients, and you know, I'm smiling and everyone's looking at me like, who is this guy? What's the matter with him? I was like free from that. And the pandemic actually, you know, freed me out of the you know, the grind per se of dentistry.
This is Growth in Dentistry, a dental intelligence podcast where we ask the question, what does growth in dentistry look like to you? I'm Katie Polson, a dental hygienist and your host. Welcome. It's another great day in the dental world. Before we get started, I wanted to invite you to join our Facebook dental community. It's come join like-minded data nerds and we can learn from each other. Also, if you have a question for our CEO, Wesson Lunsford, about our product or really anything else, I can't guarantee that it'll answer it, but at least about our product, go to our podcast page at dentalintel.com and record one. He will answer them on an upcoming Q&A episode. And now onto our show. We are talking about burnout, and I'm really excited to talk about this. This is our first episode of burnout, and with me today is Atiyah Black, director of SMB Sales, and she's going to introduce our very special guest today.
So before I introduce Dr. Kessler here, I have been following him most recently and his work within dentistry, but also within some of these topics that we're going to discuss has been phenomenal. So I'm really excited to have him on our show today. And quick introduction here, Dr. Kessler is a past president of Colorado Dental and Prosthodontics Association. He also serves as the chairman of the Wellbeing Committee for the state of Colorado and is a consultant for the American Dental Association, serving for several years on the Dental Wellbeing Advisory Committee. Brett currently serves as vice chair on American Dental Association's Council on Dental Benefits Plan and the 14th ADA District Trustee on the ADA Board. He keeps in shape by both coaching and participating in various endurance races across the United States, including the Ironman World Championships in Kona, Hawaii.
Great. Thank you so much. We're so excited. So burnout, this season is on burnout. We wrote an ebook on burnout. We re-released it. We advertised like we normally do on Facebook. And we had over, I should have these statistics in front of me now, but we had over about 600 people comment, share, or like on a Facebook ad about burnout, which I don't, who comments on a Facebook ad anymore? You know what I mean? And I just so many people talking about how they're already burned out or too late for me, or just talking about the frustrations of it. And obviously, I mean, the pandemic has had something to do with it, but just for those that are listening, burnout is a syndrome resulting in feelings of exhaustion, mental distance from a job, or overall feelings of negativity towards your job. And as a practicing doctor in Colorado, I just really wanted to know how have you seen burnout amongst maybe yourself or in the 14th district of being a trustee as the ADA? How has it changed over the pandemic, do you think?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to share some of this stuff. And it's a really important topic. You know, I was first exposed to this. I had an associate who, you know, worked with me, and then she started like thinking that there was this other office was a little bit better. And so she went to work at this other office, and I'm like, how can I help you transition if you want, you know, I'm like, take your patients, take, you know, write a letter, whatever, you know, and then, you know, she started at this other office, and, you know, a few months later she quit dentistry altogether. And I was like, what happened? You know, she was in her first 10 years of practice and she was completely burned out. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, first of all, kudos to her for the courageousness of identifying it and then acting in a correct way on it. And she ended up quitting dentistry, and she shares her story often. And that was my first exposure to burnout, especially in the younger generation. I've been in practice for 25 years, and you know, and when I'm at the office, I work hard, and it's not just with patient care, but you know, managing the office, managing the team that I work with. You know, paying the bills, you know, the computer goes down. I mean, it just keeps adding up and adding up. I sold my practice in 2018 because I can tell that I didn't enjoy it anymore. And I didn't realize how much I didn't enjoy it until a couple of years after I sold it, I worked for the group that bought me, and I ended up just hitting a wall with them, and I ended up quitting. I quit the practice that I started from scratch and started, this was during the pandemic. And as soon as we were able to practice again, I started with a new office. And that first day at the new office was I was very nervous to go into a new office. I hadn't practiced in anywhere but my practice and for 17 years. And, you know, but I just remembered all of a sudden dentistry's fun again. You know, I show up, I spin my drill, I do great things for my patients, and, you know, I'm smiling and everyone's looking at me like, who is this guy? What's the matter with him? I was like free from that. And the pandemic actually, you know, freed me out of the grind per se of dentistry. Sorry about the pun, but and then the pandemic, it really shined a light on a lot of things. And I think a lot of people, a lot of dentists and hygienists, you know, had to ask themselves some pretty important questions. Am I happy? Am I happy doing what I'm doing? Am I happy where I live? Am I happy with my life? And, you know, a lot of people, you know, in the hygienist world, you know, left the profession, you know, because they realized they weren't happy. And, you know, God bless them for figuring that out. And a lot of people changed jobs. Mental illness was way up during the pandemic. Addiction was at a record number. I think I knew of 6 or 7 dentist suicides during the pandemic. And I think it's all related. And the problem is you're in it, and it's like the frog in the pot, and you know, you turn the water, you turn the heat on, and it's just slowly warming up, and you don't know you're in boiling water until you get out of it. And that's the problem with this. It's hard to identify it in yourselves. And so, you know, I wasn't happy in my current, in my previous job, and I wasn't happy for a long time. And so I was really lucky to be able to get out of it.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, it takes a lot of courage to start something like that and leave it. yeah.
What'd you say? 17 years you'd been practicing in your scratch practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've left that. That is,
yeah,
that's a big adjustment. Yeah. And takes something a lot you definitely need.
And
to...
I see a lot of people like on Dental Town, on the channels that I follow, just there's a lot of people about talking about how they're just done with dentistry, and it makes me kind of sad. I just know that. So, and hopefully we talk about some solutions today, right? Because if we take care of ourselves prior to the point where we get burned out, maybe we can avoid some of these things. So
right. I think there's some expectations that are put on, especially I'm going to focus more on the younger dentist demographic, because, you know, it's,
yeah,
you know, for the past several years, U.S. News and Report rated dentistry as the number one job. You know, this past year, it kind of dropped to 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, something like that. But we were number one for so long. And so all these people are going into dentistry in record numbers. Mm-hmm. I know applications to dental school are at a record number this year. And, you know, and it's really hard once you get in there, and, you know, and you get through it, and you get your dental degree, and then you get to the workforce, and, you know, you're slapped with reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, you realize that, you know, you went to some of the finest dental schools in the country, and you paid a lot of money, or you owe a lot of money in dental loans, and not a lot of job opportunities, not a lot. You know, if you look at your application, we had to write a mission statement type of thing of what mm-hmm. why I wanted to go into dentistry. And, you know, we wanted to serve the underserved. We wanted to make change in people's lives. And, you know, then we get into the workforce, and it's not easy. And there's no yeah. jobs that allow you to do that dream of why you went into dental school in the first place. And then all of a sudden you realize it's hard on your body, and you're not making the money you thought you'd make. And it's before you know it, you're in, you know, anxiety level that is beyond recognition. And so a lot of us have poor coping skills, and we do unhealthy things to cope with the stress.
Yeah.
And, so.
Yeah. That's such good insight. My dad was a dentist. My brother's a dentist. Uh-huh. And watching them I get asked all the time, and I've said this before on the podcast, why didn't you go into dentistry? Like, why didn't you become a dentist? And I always say I'm the smart one. but in all joking, I saw what it took every day for my dad to be a practice owner. And now all like these younger dentists, gosh, they really do. They get hit in the face with reality real quick. So 96,000 people, this is in relation to what you're talking about. 96,000 people have died in 2020 from overdoses. That's a 29% wow. increase from the year before.
Wow.
As a recovering addict yourself and an advocate for those on the path to recover, let's talk about change. I realize that addiction and overdose is an extreme from what we're talking about in burnout, but the concepts probably overlap a little bit, and changing habits and mindsets are similar. So I've heard you talk about on multiple occasions discussing habits and making changes in your life. So give us a brief background on your lifestyle changes that you've made and how you continue to choose those changes daily.
Sure. So it I think this leads right into the burnout conversation, because like I said before, like a lot of us have poor coping skills, and a lot of us turn to drugs or alcohol to deal with the stressors that we're faced in our practices and our daily lives. And you know, and I'm a recovering drug addict and alcoholic. I've been sober since 1998, and my first phone call for help was to the ADA well-being resources, and they direct me to help. And that's why I'm so open about this. And I hope that if someone is struggling who hears this, that just know help is available. And please contact me or contact your well-being contact in your state, or the ADA well-being can direct you if you don't have that. I'd love to talk to you. I feel the, you know, probably two or three calls a month from people who are struggling, or from people who care about someone who's struggling. And so I love to be the resource to help someone turn their lives around, because it is a deadly a disease, and it's not a weakness of will. It is a disease. And at some point in my life, I used too many substances and I crossed over a line. And once I crossed over that line, I can't go back to normal, and I can't drink normally, and I can't use cocaine normally anymore. Not that I ever could use cocaine normally. I'm just being candid here. and so, you know, I had to go to rehab, and I had to really make some lifestyle changes if I were to stay sober. And you know, the success of people who try and get help on their own is about 3 to 6%. And so dentists and hygienists have a kind of a wellness program where, you know, they're kind of almost mandated to do certain things, possibly go to rehab, get an addictions counselor, go to recovery support meetings, you know, have an addiction psychiatrist as well. And, you know, just a combination of a bunch of things over time really helps, you know, create new pathways in your brain that that allows us to change and live a good lifestyle. Sobriety for me is so much more than just the absence of the substance. And I had to look at the causes and conditions of why I would use in the first place. And it was a coping mechanism. I felt I deserved to drink because I worked so hard to get where I was. And that was my, you know, my present to myself. And, you know, and it was healthy for a while. And then it was unhealthy for a while, although I still thought it was healthy. And then it was unhealthy and I was suffering consequences. And the consequences are what caused me to make the big changes in my life. And I did not want to live this way anymore and suffer any more consequences. And so every day I still, although I don't crave the drink every day or crave a drug every day, you know, I try and get myself centered so I can show up as my best self in all areas of my life. And it's an intentional activity that I do, you know, on a daily basis. When I don't do it, my life is just a little bit sideways. And if I continue to not doing it, gets totally sideways. And that's where I start going back to thinking a drink is okay. And this is a lifetime thing. It's not for me, I didn't get sober after I went to rehab. It took me about 14 months before I finally got sober. And because I had to see what I could do and what I couldn't do, you know, and I'm more of an experiential learner, I guess, where I have to, you know, you can't tell me what to do. I'll do it. I'll figure it out myself. And then, yeah, I just kept getting hit into the walls and, you know, I couldn't get through until I, you know, kind of gave up and listened to other people. So, you know, I think pain is a big motivator for change. Not only if you're addicted, but anything, you know, it's Americans and humans, I guess I would say in general, don't always do the smartest things, you know. We smoke, we drink, we use drugs, we're sedentary in our lifestyle, we eat bad food, we go for the comfort, the easy way, and it feels good at the time, but over time, you know, all of a sudden we're 20 pounds overweight and we have high blood pressure and our cholesterol's out of hand and we have heart disease, or we, you know, generate a cancerous diagnosis, you know, or we have an addiction, and it's like, a lot of it is lifestyle choices, you know, on a regular basis. So for me, I am wired to feel good with the least amount of effort. And when I do that, I go towards a bad path. And so I really have to center myself to do the right thing, and live with intention on a better path.
Yeah. I love that living with intention piece, right? A lot of us in working in dentistry, it can feel like you're alone, that you show up and you do the same thing, especially in hygiene, you do the same thing every day, all day long, and then you leave and then you do it again tomorrow. And if you don't set goals for yourself, if you don't live with intention, you can definitely get burned out really quickly.
Sure.
For sure.
And another thing with that too is, especially in the hygiene department, you know, it becomes kind of monotonous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you think about it, you're just scraping teeth. Is that what you really do? No, you're changing people's lives. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're removing bacteria that could cause infection, that brings inflammation, and in health we want to reduce the amount of inflammation in our bodies, and this is a great way to start. Yeah. And then what we found in when I was in my practice is that a lot of patients we do scaling and root planing on, they come back 6 weeks later and they still weren't healthy in the gums. And so we kind of took a step back and we looked outside of, this isn't a bacteria problem, it's a host problem. Mm-hmm. You know, so we started, you know, working on, ask questions about, you know, how's your health? And, you know, we sent them to their doctor, get a physical and a physical. And we had several patients who were undiagnosed diabetics.
Wow.
We had people who were, you know, lived, like, I guess it had a poor diet, you know, a very high inflammatory diet. And, you know, and we coached them, you know, sent them to nutritionists to change a lot of that. And, you know, all of a sudden they got better. And, so we tried to, you know, keep things more than we're just scraping teeth or we're just grinding teeth. Mm-hmm. And, because it's attached to the body, we learned that in dental school, but somehow, along the line in practice, we forget that it, you know,
it's definitely it's definitely easy in it to feel like you're not making a difference, you know, but you really, it is life changing. And if you can remember the reasons why you went into it in the beginning and try to get back to those core principles, it can help exponentially. So for sure.
Yeah. I wanted to comment on something. Cause I talk to, I'm more, practice facing from what I do here at Dental Intelligence, and I've talked to probably thousands of dentistry team members, and really the number one reason for why they do what they do is how they help patients, what they're doing to help the dentistry in general grow, but in helping patients, helping them understand how is this directly impacting my health, my life in general. And that is their why in really being in dentistry. And that right there, if we can get back to that, and our why is, in my opinion, definitely going to help us decrease that burnout, because we're remembering why we're here and why we're doing what we're doing. And just like you said, you show up every day with a big smile on your face because you're really here doing the dentistry you got into dentistry
to. Yeah. And you got rid of the things that didn't make you happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's exactly. And the practice, that's how I practice now too. It's just, it's with intention. I don't want to see everybody. I live in Denver, Colorado, and there's 1500 dentists in Colorado, and I don't have to have, and we have 2 million people. I don't have to have everyone as a patient of mine. And sometimes just because they choose me doesn't mean I have to choose them too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm not going to make a difference with this person, I might not be the best person for them, best dentist practitioner for them. You know, we agreed to not, you know, further this relationship. And, you know, the, we talk about the why, it's the book, Start With Why by Simon Sinek. So powerful. If anyone hasn't read that yet, please do. And, you know, part of my intention is I have a mission statement. I have a why statement that I read every single day. So I am focused on living that way. And if I don't, it gets monotonous and it just gets boring. And it before you know it, you're on that burnout track again, and you're looking at coping mechanisms to feel better. And, you know, and so it's a negative spiral that we don't like to be in.
You just mentioned something about your habits that you talked about, you read your why every day. What else do you do daily that helps you feel like you can live with intention?
So, as you mentioned before, I'm a endurance athlete. So I do a lot of exercise, so I'll get up in the morning, I'll do some stretching, and I'll sit for 10 minutes and do a meditation. Sometimes it's self-guided. Sometimes I'll use an app like Calm or Headspace, and it'll guide me through a meditation. And then I read my mission statement, and I just try and get centered. And then I'll go work out, or I'll get ready for work, or, you know, but in that 10 minutes, I try and look at my day, look forward, you know, what are the challenges I'm going to be facing today? And I don't try and solve those challenges in my head, although sometimes I do get into that, but I try and get centered. So I ask myself, how can I show up best when I am facing these challenges later? You know, is it a difficult conversation with a patient or a staff member? Is it, how am I going to show up for my workout that I have to do for, you know, so I can complete another Ironman? It's just, you know, it's very intentional. Sometimes throughout the day, if I'm feeling a little off base, I'll go into my office, shut the door and reset and do the same thing. Take some long, slow, deep breaths, 10 of them, and, I'm starting over and here we go. But I can't change what I did in the past, but I can change what I'm doing right now in the present, so my future is better.
Yeah. I think that is really, I've noticed a change in me as well. I take my morning and I read, I'm religious, so I read my scriptures and I pray and I, which is a form of meditation.
Yeah.
And it really does, it makes the whole day better. And I think taking those 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, it helps for sure. So I love that insight. Thank you for walking us through that.
You don't have to be religious to do this. It's more of a spiritual side and just trying to get right with the universe. And a lot of people get turned off when you hear religion, and this is not a religious practice, although it enhances your religion if you are religious, your connection with your religion. So, but it's, anyone could do this and no one does it, that's the sad thing, but I think it's growing. Look at the Harvard Business Review every month, this is the highest business periodical that comes out every month, from Harvard. They talk about mindfulness every single month. There's an article about mindfulness. Mm-hmm. The most successful people are doing this. Why not you?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And it doesn't, it doesn't mean that you just taking the time out to do it, even if it's, you're not religious at all, just taking the time to quiet yourself from all of the noise that you're going to experience for the rest of the day. Yeah, it's really great.
I've heard of some people, they'll take time to ponder and then they'll journal it.
Yes, so I write in my journal.
Some people are pen to paper kind of people, and that helps them because it's very intentional as well.
Yes, opposite. Yes, great. Yeah. Well, and
I do that too.
Journaling. Yes, yeah, it helps a lot, I think, showing gratitude.
Sure.
So you mentioned something, and it's going to lead right into, this is a question we ask this question at the end of our podcast with every guest. And it's because growth is so impersonal and it means so different things to everybody. And I'm excited to hear your answer because of what you've experienced, but what does growth in dentistry look like to you now?
Every day is an opportunity to grow. And, I want to grow my skills. I've been in practice for a long time, and I've been recognized as a great dentist by my peers for a very long time. And I never feel like I deserve it. And the more I have been in practice, the more I learn, the more classes I take, the more I realize I don't know. And, when I turned 50, that's when I sold my practice. That's the year I did the Hawaii Ironman. And that's the year that I was elected to the board of trustees for the American Dental Association. But when I turned 50, by intention, I asked myself, how do I want to, I mean, halfway through my career, how do I want to make an impact on the second half of my career? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's what I'm still trying to figure out. And so I'm practicing 2-3 days a week at a different practice on the other side of town in Denver with a very good friend of mine, and just having a blast, as I said before. Mm-hmm. I do a ton of work on the American Dental Association stuff I never learned in dental school. You know, it's all about leadership and being able to be part of something much bigger for the profession. Last year in the pandemic, we had an awful lot of meetings discussing best practices and how can we practice safe, mm-hmm. you know, and how can we be safe for our patients and not be part of the problem, but be part of the solution. And now that we're coming back to our new sense of normal, you know, they're putting me in these new positions that are just outside of my comfort zone. And it's really, really exciting. and so, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, as a practicing dentist, I have an opportunity to change my patients', you know, life right in front of me. But now I've taken a step back and I'm looking to make, you know, bigger changes for the communities that we serve. And so I'm trying to, you know, direct my growth in that way. So for me, it's a unique path as you started that question, and I'm having a blast while I'm on this ride. So yeah. I don't know what I'll look like in 5 years, but I'm having a good time right now. And I, you know, in my past, you know, when I'm on the plane of doing things where I feel like I'm contributing to the world, the universe opens up doors for me, and I walk through them with new opportunities. So
that's beautifully said. Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing your path with us today.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yep. So this has been Growth in Dentistry, a Dental Intelligence podcast. Again, special thanks to our guest, Dr. Brett Kessler. You can find him at where can people reach you at?
My email address is bikodds@gmail.com.
Great.
And then we'll have Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. So you can find me that way.
I found him, so you guys can find him. And then our link, the links to his email and the contacts will be there. Also, the links to the American Dental Association Wellbeing will be in our links and show notes as well. So if you need access to those, you can find that. Thank you. And you can also find the information by visiting our webpage at dentalintel.com. So thank you to Atiyah Black for joining me today and our amazing marketing department for helping us on this episode. I'm Katie Polson. Keep growing. Mm-hmm.